Good morning. Scripture reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. Excuse me, 7 through 12. Acts chapter 20, 7 through 12. And it reads, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, 'Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him.' Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comfort."
Good morning. Really good to see everybody today. We're glad you're here. Hope everybody didn't eat too much over the Thanksgiving holiday, although I have to say that I probably did eat too much. I guess that's what Thanksgiving is good for, isn't it? But anyway, we're glad that you're here today on this Lord's Day, on the first day of the week. And if you're visiting, you are especially our welcome guest. We hope you'll come back and be with us. We hope that you'll ask questions. If you hear something that you've not heard before, ask us about that. If you see something you've not seen before, ask us about that. We'd be more than happy to discuss it with you with an open mind and an open Bible. All we're trying to do here is follow the Bible. We have a sign out front that says Church of Christ, and sometimes the sign tells a story and sometimes it doesn't. But with us, it tells a story. It's telling us that we try to follow Christ. And the only way that we can do that is by opening the pages of His Word, seeing what it says, and putting it into practice. So we're trying to make that sign mean something to us, not just a sign, but a sign that describes who we are. We are a church, which is a body of people. We are a church of, that means belonging to, and we are a church of Christ, belonging to Christ, following Him in every way. So thank you for coming. And as I said, if you have questions, please ask us about that. I want to talk to you, as you can see, about this man named Eutychus in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. Just a short little story there about him. It was just read in your hearing a few moments ago. And I was just thinking, as I was sitting over there waiting to get up here to preach, and you may or may not have heard this, but I'm talking about distractions. That's what this is all about, distractions. And my wife's phone went off while we were sitting over there. So it just goes to show you that nobody's perfect, right? Sometimes we all make mistakes. But anyway, we want to talk about this text. And usually when we read this text and preach about this text, talk about it, we focus on the Lord's Supper. And I think with good reason. The Lord's Supper is a very important part of our worship. And you can see in verse 7 that it was the first day of the week. That's Sunday. That's today. The first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. And that phrase, break bread, is used a couple of different ways in the Scripture. When you consult the Greek scholars on this, they'll tell us that it basically means to eat a meal. And sometimes it refers to a common, ordinary meal. We even say that to this day. We'll say, come over to my house and break bread with us. And we're just talking about an ordinary meal. But then other times, depending on context, it refers to the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he said, "The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The cup which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" So clearly there, the breaking of bread is a reference to the Lord's Supper. And it is also the case here in Acts 20 and verse 7. They didn't just eat common meals on the first day of the week, but that was the day they gathered to worship. That was the day they were taking the Lord's Supper. And then we also make the comment in verse 11 that Paul came up and broke bread and ate. And the phrase "and ate" there, coupled with the fact that it was just Paul and not the congregation doing this, tells us that that was a common meal there in verse 11. So in verse 7, break bread refers to the Lord's Supper. In verse 11, it refers to a common meal. But we miss sometimes the little story sandwiched in between, the little story about Eutychus. And so let's just look at those verses 8 through 12. It says, "There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in the window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. And Paul went down on him and embraced him and said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." And when he had come up and had broken bread and eaten, he talked a long while, even until daybreak, and he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. This verse really introduces this idea of Eutychus interrupting their worship. And I think there's some lessons here. If we just stop and analyze the text a little bit, there's some lessons here for us. And worship is very important. And we try to stress that week to week. I think maybe it was last week I made the point that worship demands, because of the seriousness of it, because of the solemnity of it, it demands our focus. We need to be focused on what we're doing. We're worshiping the Creator of the universe. We're worshiping our Redeemer. We're worshiping the one who will judge us on the last day. So we need to have our focus. And the worship of God demands our reverence. That means respect. Respect for God, our awesome God, as we talked about last week. We need to think about His awesomeness and show Him the reverence He deserves. And worship, therefore, because of these things, deserves our very best efforts. Now, I didn't have this passage in your notes on the back of your family report, but we'll just take a peek here at this moment at Hebrews chapter 12, and hold your place in Acts because we'll be referring to it again and again throughout the lesson. But in Hebrews 12 and verse 28, he mentions this idea of reverence here. He says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." When you serve God, it must be acceptably. And in order for it to be acceptable, it must be with reverence, and it must be with godly fear. And that's really what this lesson is all about when you get right down to it. But when we look at the interruption of Mr. Eutychus, I want us to think about the lessons we can glean from the text that might help us to keep from being distracted or becoming a distraction in our public worship. And the first thing I want you to notice, and there's Mr. Eutychus right there, modern-day Eutychus, but Eutychus, the Bible tells us he's set in a very bad place. And I want you to think about where he's set here in verses 8 and 9. It says, "There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together." So first of all, they're gathered in someone's house, apparently, and in an upper room. So in an upstairs place. So that's where they're gathered. And then it says in verse 9, "In the window sat a certain young man named Eutychus." He's sitting in the window. Now, take your minds back. Don't think 21st century. Take your minds back to that day and time. They didn't have glass in their windows. That's just a hole in the wall. That's what that was, just a hole in the wall. That was their window. And it would let the light in, but the flies would come in. Some of you older brethren may remember the days before air conditioning when the churches would open the windows and the flies would come in. Well, they have the same kind of thing here. These sitting in an open window. That's not a very good place to sit, especially on the third floor. It's not a good place to sit. And then it goes on and says that he was sinking into a deep sleep. And as he was overcome by sleep, as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story. So this guy, and it wasn't just upstairs, but he was very upstairs. He was on the third floor of this building, of this house, whatever it was. And he fell down. So he's not sitting in a very good place. And so if you want to not perhaps be a distraction, or more to my point, if you don't want to distract others, and don't want to become a distraction, then you want to make sure that you set yourself in a pretty good place. Now, there are people, and I can do this sometimes, there are people who have an undistractable attention span. There are times I can come in, I don't care where I sit, I can sit in the very back, I can sit in the middle, I can sit in the front, and there's nothing going to mess up my focus. I'm going to focus on that preacher, I'm going to focus on that song leader, and nothing's going to mess that up. But not everybody's like that, and that may not be you. And so if you're someone who's easily distracted, I would suggest that the worst place in the world for you to sit is in the back of the auditorium, because you see everything that goes on. You see everything that everybody in front of you is doing, and you can get easily distracted. There are other people who actually have vision issues, and I'm not making fun of that. They cannot see well, and so the worst place for you to sit is in the back. Now, I always try, when I come over to the building and set these charts up, I always try and do a test run on these charts, and I stand way back there in the back because I want to make sure you can see this. And, Because I've seen a lot of these charts put up here where the writing is about this high, and you can't see what's up there, and you can't make heads or tail of it. So I always try and do a test run to make sure you can see this from the very back. The average person with an average sight can see it from the very back. But if you have vision problems, it might be a good idea for you to move a little bit farther forward. Make an adjustment so that you can see, so that you don't get distracted, so that you can pay attention to what's going on. And that's just some good common sense advice that we need to understand and maybe act on. Anna was telling me the other day when I was preparing this lesson, I was telling her about it. She said, you know what? She said, I have to sit in the front. And she said, the reason I do is so I don't get distracted. And so she sits up here in the front so she doesn't see everything going on behind her and doesn't get distracted. So it is something that applies to everybody, even preachers and even preachers' wives. This is good advice for anybody. Sit in a place where you won't be distracted, and then you won't be becoming Eutychus. You won't be like him and be distracted during the worship, or perhaps even become a distraction as he did. Now, this next point is bad news. Eutychus fell asleep on the preacher. He's already gone down about 3 points in my book when you fall asleep on the preacher. Now, that's just a big no-no. But it says here in verse 9, he was sinking into a deep sleep, and then it goes on to say he was overcome by sleep. You can just imagine this kind of happening. Just kind of put yourself back in the day, and you see this guy just kind of nodding like this and nodding like this, and maybe he nods off and knocks something over, and everybody turns around and looks at him. And then finally he just falls completely asleep and falls out the window. You can just imagine, this didn't just happen like that. It was a process. So falling asleep is usually a process. Now, there are situations where, and you may not agree with me at first, but think of it, there are situations where that might be excusable. In fact, when you read up on this and you start reading the commentaries, some will say that perhaps Eutychus had a long day at work. You know, that's probably true. That's probably the reason they were meeting at night, because everybody was working during the day, and they came in the evening and had worship, and they'd had a long day, maybe out in the fields, maybe planting, maybe harvesting, whatever it was they were doing, and a long day at work. I can kind of understand someone falling asleep in that situation. Now, it's not a good thing, and it might be a little embarrassing, but I can kind of understand that. That might be a little bit excusable. There are also people sometimes who have medical issues, that can't be helped. Maybe they have advanced age. And if you've noticed, sometimes older people will have a tendency to doze off. I've noticed that myself from time to time. I'll be sitting there watching TV, and the next thing I know, I'm dozing off. And so older people have a tendency to doze off. Sometimes they have poor health, and they might doze off. Sometimes they take medication, and the medication might make them drowsy. Those kind of things are understandable, and those kind of things are excusable. I get that. And so please don't think for a second that I'm being critical of that. If you're an older person, or if you have a medical condition, or if you're taking some kind of medicine that might make you drowsy, I'm not preaching at you this morning. I understand that completely, and you might say that's excusable. And then sometimes people will say, well, you know something? Some preachers are just boring. Yeah, I've heard some of those too. Hopefully you don't think I'm boring, but some preachers are boring. But, you know, I would like to suggest to you something. I've sat at the feet of some boring preachers, and you know what I always try to do? I'm going to focus anyway, because here's what gets back to my opening remarks here. God deserves better. Don't focus on how good of a speaker he is. Don't focus on how fantastic he is with his words. Focus on the fact that we're worshiping God, and he has a message from God's word, and I'm going to get whatever I can get out of that message. So change your thought process and change your focus, because God deserves better than to say, well, I'm just going to tune out because he bores me to death. No, don't do that. Don't be like that, because now you're becoming Eutychus. Now you're becoming Eutychus, and you're going to be a distraction to the worship assembly when you fall asleep and perhaps even start snoring. So let's not do that. God deserves better regardless of who's preaching in the pulpit. But here's something else. You know, there are some people, some brethren, who just don't prepare for worship on Sunday. You know, Sunday comes around every week just like clockwork. Did you know that? Every week has a first day in it. And we all know that Sunday's coming. And we know that God wants us to gather together. And so that's the worst time in the world to be up late on Saturday night, isn't it? You want to be in here rested. You want to be in here refreshed. You want to be in here ready to worship God, ready to do what God wants you to do. And yet we're going to stay up half the night, Saturday night. That's not good. That's not a very wise thing for a Christian to do. You know worship is coming, so make preparations. Sometimes we're up watching TV till 3 or 4 in the morning, and then we wonder why we're yawning through the service. Well, let's not do that. Let's change our habits. Let's do something here that keeps us from becoming Eutychus, and let's get some rest on Saturday night. Sometimes we're socializing late into the night on Saturday night. Sometimes we're working late into the night, and sometimes it's not a matter of have to work, but it's a matter of choose to work, because sometimes we can choose our hours. Not every job is like that, but sometimes you can. And so these are things that we can fix. That's what I'm driving at. And the things that we can fix, we should fix. Why? Because God deserves better. We don't want to become Eutychus. We don't want to become a distraction. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 5, and this might be another bonus passage that I didn't have in your notes. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. A couple of verses here. Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Here it is, right here, verse 16. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Now, you think about that in a very literal sense. You literally can't buy back time. To redeem is to buy back. You can't literally buy back time. Once it's gone, it's gone. But the idea, it's a figurative expression, and what he's getting across here, and some translations will actually translate it that way, making the most of the opportunity. Now, plug that in right here. Making the most of the opportunity. I want to be at services. I want to be rested. I want to be refreshed. I want to be ready because I want to give God my best efforts on Sunday morning. And therefore, I'm going to make the most of the opportunity. I'm going to get plenty of rest. I'm going to be ready. If there's a Bible lesson that needs to be done, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be prepared. And so think about how that passage applies to our public worship. We apply it to a lot of other things, and rightly so. But think about how it applies to our public worship. Eutychus fell asleep on the preacher. Big no-no. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Please don't do that this morning, by all means. Eutychus, because of all these things, interrupted their worship. The worship had to stop in verse 10. It says, in fact, let's look at verse 9. It says, "As Paul continued speaking," Paul's preaching away, a long sermon. And then in verse 10, Paul went down. You know what Paul had to do before he went down? He had to stop preaching. So here they are in the middle of a worship service, and this guy falls out of the third story window and is taken up dead, and Paul has to stop preaching. Now, that's kind of understandable. When there's a death in the worship assembly, I can kind of understand why you would stop that. In fact, that happens a time or two. It not just happened there in Acts 20. I knew of a case down in Berksville, Kentucky, where a man died right during worship services. Those things do happen from time to time. And so that's kind of an understandable interruption. But you know, some interruptions are inexcusable. Some interruptions are intentional. This happened to me several years ago. I may have told this story before, but several years ago I was preaching down in Kentucky one time, and I was on, it was one of those fiery, barn-burning kind of sermons, and there was a brother sitting near the front, and he raised his head up right in the middle of my sermon. He said, "Excuse me, are you preaching at me?" Do you know what he just did? He interrupted the worship. Well, I didn't miss a beat. I said, "Well, do you need it?" And I said, "Brother, we're trying to worship God. We can talk about this later." Well, a little bit later, he's at the head of the table. And he's standing here. And you know, at the head of the table, they make their remarks. The head of the table is the one who makes the remarks. And he turns to me and attacks me again. During the Lord's Supper. Think of that. During the Lord's Supper, he stops and he attacks me. I said, "Brother, we are trying to worship God. We can talk about this later." And then sometime later, I don't remember exactly when it was. I think it may have been at the closing prayer or at the closing announcements. He got up and he did it again. And I said, "Brother, please. We're trying to worship." And that's the only time in my life I can recall that happening to me. But you just think about that. And I told him, by the way, I said, "We'll talk later." And did we ever? I followed him home. He didn't live too far from the church building. I followed him home, and I gave him a pretty good talking to about interrupting worship. We're worshiping the Lord. We are worshiping the Lord, and we're not supposed to be interrupting that for some personal reason. You want to talk to the preacher about his sermon? Talk to him later. Talk to him afterwards, you see. Don't interrupt the worship. Turn your Bibles now. Again, hold your place in the book of Acts, but turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. In verse 33 in particular, and the whole chapter, we won't be long, we'll be into this on our Wednesday night Bible study. We'll be in the 14th chapter in a few weeks. But in the 14th chapter, he's regulating disorder and interruptions. That was during the days of miraculous gifts. We don't have those gifts today, but back then people spoke in tongues and prophesied, did all those. We don't have that today. Those gifts have fallen away by the wayside. We don't need those gifts anymore because we have the completed Bible. But in that day and time, they had the gifts, and everybody wanted to speak. And everybody wanted to get up at the same time, and there was a lot of disorder. So it kind of fits along with the same lesson here. A lot of disorder and a lot of confusion. And in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, notice what he says here. In fact, let's just back up for a little context here. Verse 31, "For you can all prophesy one by one." Take your turn, one at a time. "And all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." In other words, don't get up there and say, "Well, I couldn't help myself." That's what that means. You're in control of this. You don't have to interrupt the guy. And here's the reason why, verse 33. "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." The word confusion there could be translated disorder. God is not the author of disorder. God is not the author of confusion. And so we don't need to be going around interrupting worship. And that's what Eutychus did. Now, kind of understandable. The guy was taken up dead. Kind of understandable in his case. But I think there's a lesson there for us that we don't want to be an intentional interrupter. We don't want to be an intentional disruptor. We don't want to be an intentional person who causes confusion. Because what ended up happening was this. Eutychus was a distraction to everybody. The whole congregation now is in a tizzy. Everybody's got to go downstairs and see what happened and check out the situation. So there's a little bit of a distraction here. In verse 10, it says, in Acts 20 and verse 10, it says, "Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him and said, 'Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him.'" The falling on him here I thought was interesting. It kind of takes our minds back to the Old Testament with Elijah and Elisha. When they had a few resurrections that they did in their career, and they would stretch out on the body. And that's kind of what Paul was doing here. He was kind of stretching out, lying on top of the body, just like Elijah and Elijah did. And so he stretches out here on the body, and he says, look at this language here, "Do not trouble yourselves." They were troubled by this. Why were they troubled? Well, because it's kind of a distraction, you see. It's kind of a distraction. Now again, in this case, the distraction was understandable. It's completely understandable. Someone passed away, that there would be a distraction. Everybody would be looking at it. But you know, there are other distractions that take place that are rude. There are other distractions that take place that are ill-mannered. And there are other distractions that take place that are just flat-out irreverent, showing no respect for God. Let me give you some examples of some of the distractions I've seen over the years, and we're trying to avoid becoming Eutychus. And so think about some of the distractions, and maybe you could add to the list here. But I have seen people texting during worship service. What are you doing? We're supposed to be worshiping God. Why are you texting on your phone during a worship service? What could possibly be that important that you're going to take your attention away from God and put it on your screen on your phone and text somebody during worship service? I've seen people surfing the internet on their phone. What is the matter with you? We're worshiping God. Why would you be surfing the internet during a period of worship when we're trying to give our focus and our attention and our praise and our glory and our honor to God, and you're surfing the internet during a worship service? What are you thinking? Those are intentional, rude, ill-mannered, and irreverent distractions. Sometimes people will pass babies up and down the aisles from one end of the building to the other. Now, I know as a parent, when you have baby in arms, you've got to tend to that. We've done that. We raised our boy. And you've got to do, but to pass them from front end of the building to the back, and all, what is going on? What are we thinking here? There was one lady one time, and she always did this during the Lord's Supper. Got her fingernail clippers out. Click, click. Now, you know, during the Lord's Supper, that's about the quietest time during a worship service. Everybody's thinking about Jesus. And all you hear is click, click, click. And you can hear the nails flying and hitting the pews or what, hitting the floor. It was like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? What are we doing? We're supposed to be focused on God. And here we are surfing the net and playing with babies and passing them up and down from one end to the other and clipping our fingernails. But how about this one? I don't know why, but there's always people who are habitually tardy. Do you not understand that when you come walking in here 10, 15, 20 minutes late that you're a distraction to everybody else? Because they turn around and they look at you and they see that you're 15, 20. Now, anybody can be late. Just the other day, as Al and I both know, we had an elders meeting here just the other day, and I walk out to a flat tire. So things happen. You might have a flat tire on your way to services. That's completely understandable. You might get in a heavy traffic situation on your way to services. That's completely understandable. But to be late week after week after week after week, the same person, the same people, late week after week, that's just poor planning. That's all it is. You wouldn't be late to work like that, would you? You wouldn't have a job. And so what are we thinking here? Habitual tardiness. And then there's people who will talk continuously during worship. Never stops. And they're talking back and forth to each other. Years ago, there was two older ladies in the congregation, and they were getting along in years, so they didn't hear well, and I don't think they had a clue how distracting they were being. But I'd call out a passage. What did he say? What passage was that? Was that in the Old Testament or the New? I don't remember. And it was just about that loud. And they didn't have a clue, of course, because they were beginning to lose their hearing a little bit. But those kinds of things are distraction. Now think about when there's people out there, instead of listening and paying attention, they're talking and carrying on a conversation about the game this afternoon or whatever. And it's like, what are we thinking here? Sometimes there are unruly children. Now, babes in arms, you got to teach them. You know, listen, don't be upset. Little babies are going to make noise. Years ago when Cody was little, I used to fuss on him all the time. And we were over at James Cooper's house. James Cooper was a gospel preacher, and I was on him every 5 seconds. And James Cooper told me something that helped me a lot. He said, listen to me. He said, that little baby is a whole lot more problem for you than he is for me. And he was trying to tell me something. Little babes in arms are going to make noise. That happens. So, but there's a point that at some point they got to learn to sit still. This is the goal. This is the goal. What I'm getting at is this. I've seen kids that are old enough to be sitting there making 10, 15 trips to the restroom during services. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. What are we doing? What are we thinking? What are we teaching our children? If your kids are old enough to sit in school at a desk and pay attention to the teacher, they're old enough to sit in a pew and pay attention to the preacher. It's just that simple. If they're old enough to sit at school at a desk and pay attention, they're old enough to sit in a pew at church and pay attention. And they don't need to be making, we're here, an hour and 10 minutes? You don't need to make 10 trips to the restroom in an hour and 10 minutes time. Unless, again, you have a medical issue or are taking medication or something like that, or have a health issue. But a normal, healthy person does not need to make that many trips to the restroom during a worship service. That is a distraction. Now let's bring in some other scriptures here. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Here's a principle we usually, again, one of those things we apply to other things, but think about how it would apply here. Not lagging in diligence. How would that apply to the habitually tardy person? Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. That doesn't fit the habitually tardy person, does it? They need to get something in line here. And then, for all the talking and things of that nature, turn back with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 7. Ecclesiastes 3, the first 8 verses there, talks about, they even made a song about this back in the 60s. To everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And then he gives a whole series of things. You get down here to verse 7, and it says the latter half of the verse, there is a time to keep silence, and there's a time to speak. And so how does that apply to those who are habitually talking during services or habitually texting? That's essentially talking. You're talking to somebody with a text message. And so how does that apply? There is a time to speak, and there is a time to keep silence. And then one more verse we'll bring in here, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40. We were looking at 1 Corinthians 14 earlier. We looked at verse 33. But verse 40 also brings a very important point in. Paul says, let all things be done decently and in order. Again, that runs counter to all of this, doesn't it? Decently and in order. Don't sit in a bad place. Don't fall asleep on the preacher. Don't interrupt the worship. Don't become a distraction. Because when you do those things, you're not acting decently and in order. Now, there's a good side to this story. We go back to Acts 20 and verse 7. Eutychus was brought back to life. Eutychus was resurrected from the dead. In two senses, I would suggest to you, by the way. In Acts 20 and verse 10 and 11, it says here, Paul went down, fell on him, embraced him, and he said, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. I've restored his life is the idea. And verse 12, they brought the young man in alive. He was taken up dead, now he's alive. They brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. The name Eutychus, by the way, means fortunate. Did you know that? That's what it means, fortunate. This guy was fortunate. He sat upstairs in a third-story window and fell asleep on the Apostle Paul and died. And they could have just left him dead there and had his funeral and been done with it. But no, Paul says, no, we're going to have mercy and we're going to bring him back to life. Paul had mercy on him. God had mercy on him because it was actually God that brought him back. It wasn't Paul, God working through Paul. But God had mercy on him. But Eutychus, this was another resurrection, because prior to this, Eutychus had become a Christian. You know, he was brought back to life then too. Did you know that? Romans 6 and verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Eutychus was brought back to life at his baptism, and Eutychus was brought back to life here at this church meeting. He was brought back to life. And believe it or not, Eutychus was going to die again, and he'll be raised again at the last days. So that'd be three resurrections for Eutychus. Raised to walk in newness of life, raised by the Apostle Paul, and then raised by the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of time. He certainly is a fortunate man. But you know, my point here is I want to take this and bring it around here. You can be resurrected from all this stuff right here. You might be sitting out there feeling a little uncomfortable this morning. Why is he talking about me? Why is he getting on me about this? But you can be resurrected from all this. That's what I'm trying to suggest to you. You can change this. It doesn't have to stay like this. Don't sit in a bad place any longer. Make some changes. If you're prone to be distracted, make some changes. If you can't see the PowerPoint slides, make some changes. Don't sit in a bad place. Don't fall asleep on the preacher. Get rested on Saturday night. Prepare for the worship. You know it's coming. It comes every first day of the week. You know it's coming. Don't interrupt the public worship with texts and phone calls and things like that. Don't become a distraction. You too can be brought back to life. In fact, I would suggest you must. You must. This is not an option. We're talking about reverencing the God of heaven. One more point, and then the lesson will be yours. I imagine if I put myself in Eutychus' position, I'd have been pretty embarrassed, wouldn't have you? Wouldn't you? If you sat up there in that third story window and you fell out and you died, and then next thing you know, everybody's staring over you saying, what happened? You'd probably be a little bit embarrassed. I get that. My question is, what about you when you distract? When you become Eutychus, if that happens to you, or if that describes you, are you embarrassed about it? I would like to suggest in a very polite way that you should be. You should be. And you should try to do better. I know this wasn't one of those exciting sermons. I know this is one of those sermons that kind of makes us feel bad sometimes. But sometimes we need reminders of these things. We just need to be reminded of how important this is. What we're doing here is not about me and it's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about God. It's about serving God and glorifying God and reverencing God, and it deserves our best efforts, our focus, and our reverence. And that's really all that I'm trying to say. I hope the lesson has helped you in some way, and I hope that it will help us all of us, to improve our efforts at serving God. Take out your song books if you're using them. The song, of course, will be projected. But if you're here and not a Christian, we'd like to for you to think seriously about your soul, because one day Jesus is coming back and you will stand before Him in judgment, as will we all. And if your sins have not been washed away by the blood of Christ, you will hear those terrible words, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." I don't want that for you. The members of this congregation don't want that for you. And most importantly, the Lord does not want that for you. That's why He came into the world and died on a cross for your sins. So if you're subject to the invitation, we want you to come. We want you to be baptized into Christ. You can't be saved without being baptized. Jesus Himself said it this way: "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." This is Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. "Preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. And he who does not believe will be condemned." Those are not my words. Those are the words of Jesus. Maybe you have been baptized, but somewhere along the way you've messed up. And it happens. But you can make that right. You can come back to the Lord. "Repent of this thy wickedness," the Bible says, "and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart will be forgiven thee." If we can help you, obey the Lord. Won't you come now while we stand and while we sing?